My best podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 77 of the Mondas podcast. Thanks very much for tuning in. If you want to do the whole Twitter thing, it's at IanTodd82 and hashtag Mondas podcast. Today we're going to be talking about guilty pleasures in classic Doctor Who. Some people said they didn't have any guilty pleasures, but I think Doctor Who, like every great show, has, you know, the odd guilty pleasure that it's a personal thing. It might have something to do with you think that's a bit naff, or but I still love it and I've watched it loads of times. Or for me, it was my episode of choice, or serial of choice, was Silver Nemesis, because that was when I first got into Doctor Who, so I have a lot of time for that sort of McCoy era. And the story is crazy, if you think about it. I mean, I would love Remembrance of the Daleks to be the anniversary story. I think it fits better, and it's just a better story. But enjoy Silver Nemesis, three parts, and you got neo-Nazis, Cybermen, a time-travelling Lady Painfort, you got chess games, that Windsor Castle, but not really Windsor Castle, and you've got the whole kind of meddling, mysterious Seventh Doctor, which I really like. You've got Courtney Pine as well. It's crazy, you know. But no, it's fun. It's quite hammy at times, and you've got a random American woman in the fancy car and all that. It's all over the place. But I really like the whole McCoy's Doctor when he's mysterious and he knows what's happening and he's been here before, etc. And he's setting things in motion, events in motion. I like all that sort of stuff. So. Yeah, the other choices people have made in this episode, some of them I agree with, because guilty pleasures, there's a few through the years that you think, I enjoy it, but I know it's a little bit rubbish. But Silver Nemesis sticks out for me, and I think I might be the only person on this podcast talking about this episode, but it's good, but it's a bit. If you look at it on paper, you think that's a crazy story, but maybe that's what's great about Doctor Who. You know, there's certain things you look on paper and think that's crazy, like the Mark Gatiss episode recently about gunk in your eye, so to speak. That was a crazy concept. Not everyone liked the episode, of course, but you know, devices episodes are interesting, you know. But let's hear what other people have got to say. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you soon.
Simon Meddings.
Hello, Ian. This is Meds from Waffle On Podcast, and this is my classic Doctor Who guilty pleasure. It's a Peter Davison episode. Now, I think I've said this before on your show that I got into Doctor Who in 1978, 79. And although Tom Baker was my first Doctor, Peter Davison was my real first Doctor. And my guilty pleasure is the episode called Time Flight. Yes, broadcast in March 1982. I was 9 years old around about this time. And it is definitely a real guilty pleasure, because the story is a cracking story. The written story is a cracking story. You get to see a bit of Heathrow, so it's always good to see the Doctor in places of interest. Davison, of course, was in Amsterdam, and here with Heathrow. I don't know, it kind of like really adds a bit of oomph to the TV series. Unfortunately, of course, they had no money at this point, so all the money was spent using Heathrow. I think we all remember the set in which you just saw a model of Concord's wheel, which was obviously nowhere near to scale, and it wobbled and all the time, and the monsters were made of foam. You know, the usual cliche things that you say about classic Star Trek. But the story, when you actually look at the story and when you watch it, it's a cracker of a story. It's really good. You know, you got the Master in there. I always enjoyed seeing Anthony Ainley, although of course he was not credited in to hide the to hide it. You know, no one wanted to give away that he was the master. So they called him, I think it was something like Leon Naitai or something like that. Anyway, it was an anagram of Tony Ainley. And it's just a really good episode. I really enjoy watching it. And it's always good as well because there's a continuity in this. They're grieving over Adric's death. But they're grieving over Adric's death. And, you know, and Tegan has always moaned about wanting to get back to Heathrow. You know, she wants to get back. And the time she does finally get back to Heathrow, she ends up running back out to the TARDIS because she doesn't want to leave, and of course she just misses her. Obviously, this is not the last time we see Tegan. But I do like the continuity. I like the fact they're still grieving over Adric's death. And when you get the vision of him, they realise, of course, that it is just an illusion because you see his badge, which was destroyed in the previous episode. Yeah, no, I really enjoy this episode. I really do. Peter Davison has said he thinks this story is absolutely fantastic, but they didn't do it justice. You know, they let it down. Nice directing by Ron Jones. And it was written, of course, by Peter Grimwade, who also did the novelisation of it. Back in the day when it was four episodes of 25 minutes, classic season 19. So that's my guilty pleasure. I don't know if anybody else enjoys Time Flight. Looking forward to listening to the show.
Ellie's Harris.
The one I'm going to pick, I think, is The Mind Robber, which in a lot of ways is a typical Doctor Who story, but it's also the most ridiculous Doctor Who story, I think. It's also a Patrick Troughton, who is my favourite Doctor, and it's got two companions, including Jamie. One, he's in my top three companions, along with Sarah Jane, and it varies who else is in there, but yeah, definitely in the top five or six there. And two companions is always better than one because there's a bit of interaction and there's something going on. And also his interaction with the Doctor is great. And you've got bonus that because Fraser Hines was ill, you've got another companion who's also playing Jamie, who's Hamish Wilson, because Fraser Hines had chicken pox, I think, and they had to replace him at a certain point. And Hamish Wilson looks nothing like him, but they explain this by having a cardboard cutout in lots of sort of broken up bits that the Doctor has to put back together in order to make Jamie, and it doesn't quite work, so Jamie's not quite the way that he should be. There's other things going on too. There's the reuse of props. John Atterbury, who is a friend of my mother, is actually one of the extras in it. He's in one of the white robot suits. And it turns out the white robots were actually from another BBC TV series, and they decided to reuse them for this. And a lot of the costumes, I think, were in lots of other period dramas from the BBC. They've just used them again. Another thing that is really good about this is there's a character called the Master who is not the Master. But is he though? Is he though? Possibly not. But Bernard Horsfall plays Gulliver, who is a character, the actual character Gulliver. Bernard Horsfall does not play the Master. But Bernard Horsfall later on appears in War Games. The War Games is the first introduction of the Time Lords, and he plays a Time Lord in that. So is he actually a sort of figment of the Doctor's mind? And he's really a... Because the Time Lords haven't been mentioned till this. And now the Master... in this particular, the Mind Robber, isn't the Master. But there's a character in the War Games, who's the War Chief, played by the guy that was in Rent-A-Ghost. What was his name? Edward Brayshaw, yeah. He was in Rent-A-Ghost. You might remember that. He was Mr. Meeker, was he? I can't remember. Anyway, he plays a character called the War Chief, who is very much like the Master, but is also not the Master. It's like, ooh... So there's a lot of continuity and weird things going on, and it's a great story. It's a ridiculous story. And we're just wandering around in caves and meeting fictional characters and going, what? And this is another thing, another theme that repeats in Doctor Who. So it is, it's an amazing story. How can you not love it? It's ridiculous.
Richard Norton. I don't really agree with the idea of guilty pleasures. I think you should like what you like and be genuine about that. But when Ian mentioned this to me, the first episode I thought of was The Happiness Patrol, a classic Sylvester McCoy episode of Doctor Who. Basically, on a planet, there is a Happiness Patrol, and if you're not happy, if you're a killjoy, they will round you up and execute you. So, doing terrible things in the name of making everyone happy. Perhaps most famous in this episode is the villain of the Candyman, who looks very much like the Licorice All Sorts logo character, made entirely of sweets, but again, who goes around brutally murdering people. A lot of the episode seems very silly and bits of it don't work, especially with the Candyman. But the things that I like about it, I think it has a very solid idea of a common Doctor Who idea of people having good intentions at the beginning or inventing new technology that's going to make things better, but almost accidentally makes things a lot worse. So the idea to promote happiness has led to them killing people. I'm a fan of the Sylvester McCoy Doctor Who episode because that's the one I remember watching when I was a kid, and I always enjoyed Ace as a companion. Overall, I did enjoy watching the episode again, but there's a lot of problems with it. But I think the idea behind it is quite solid.
J.R. Sozol. Hi, this is J.R. from the Blue Box Podcast, and although I've been asked to talk about a guilty pleasure, I'm going to reveal a guilty secret instead. I don't like the Caves of Androzani. Well, that's not strictly true. I like it well enough. I think it's a good story and a fine piece of television. It was written by Robert Holmes, after all, and I don't think anything Robert Holmes ever wrote could really be described as bad. Well, except maybe The Space Pirates, but I'll reserve judgment on that until or unless it comes back to us. I expect it's probably a lot better than its reputation suggests. As for the Caves of Androzani, well, there are certain things about it I like a lot. John Normington as Morgus is terrific, for example, and the story itself is executed with a degree of imagination that wasn't often seen in Doctor Who, especially during the 1980s. But mostly, its reputation is founded on how gritty it is, how realistic the characters and their motivations are, how believable the performance is. There are guns which fire real bullets, and when people get dirty, they stay dirty. On the other hand, apart from the Doctor, even in spite of Peter Davison's panting acting, which reaches an absolute nadir at the end of Part 3, and at a push Perry, whose whimpering acting is almost equal to Peter Davison's panting acting in this story, there aren't any characters to like in the Caves of Androzani. There's nobody I can empathise with, and nobody I really want to win. Shahraz Jack comes closest, and he's the villain, for crying out loud. It's a bit like Alex Garland's The Beach in that respect. I was kind of hoping, when I read that book, that the entire cast of characters would be dead by the end of it. I feel the same way about High Fidelity, if I'm honest. I feel that way about the main character, at least. And that's how I feel about The Caves of Androzani. It's a story that's easy to admire. There's plenty in it that's worthy of admiration. But there's nothing there for me to like. It's a story I just can't manage to love in any way. It hardly even feels like Doctor Who. The Doctor barely gets involved in the story, and it resolves itself almost without bothering him at all. It would make an excellent episode of Blake 7. I guess I just like my Doctor Who quirkier, more upbeat, with characters I can enjoy watching and who I find myself caring about. Mind you, as much as I don't like The Caves of Androzani, Revelation of the Daleks is even worse. It suffers from all the same problems as The Caves of Androzani, but doesn't even have a Robert Holmes script to help it out. Don't get me started on Revelation of the Daleks.
Phil Cannon. I didn't have to think too long about what my guilty pleasure from the classic series would be, and well, to be straight to the point, it's actually going to have to be Warriors of the Deep. Well, for one very good reason, because it is just so stupendously bad, but with a quite a good idea behind it. But why is it a guilty pleasure? Well, as I said, because it is stupendously bad. The whole base is overly lit. It highlights all of its flaws. Everyone's wearing eyeshadow for some bizarre reason. It's never really that explained that well. The Sea Devil costumes are terrible. The one from the 70s look much better, and the Silurian costumes haven't improved on the original design much either. Then you've got Ingrid Pitt. which, okay, she was never the world's greatest actress, but by this point, who decided that her doing karate was a good idea? But it's just hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious, and I just enjoy watching it. For that reason, I still laugh at it now when I see Ingrid Pitt trying to karate kick the Murker. Yes, the Murker. What else can be said about that? Powered by the two people that were inside the Dobbin costume from Rent-A-Ghost, with no rehearsal time. The paint wasn't dry on the costume either. Yes, it was pretty terrible, actually. And everybody dies. It's a typical Eric Saywood story. It's the sort of thing he seemed to favour. I think to him that excitement meant a bloodbath. And everybody dies in that story. The only people left standing are the Doctor, Tegan and Turlough. So it's utterly an amazing story. But for all those reasons, I just love it. I just love this story. If there's anything sort of going to sort of cheer me up, I think that is the one I'm going to watch. And it is a guilty pleasure. I mean, people say there's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. If you enjoy watching it, then why is it a guilty pleasure? Because this one is so widely derided, and for very good reason, actually. I just happen to think that, well, no, there's actually quite a lot to enjoy. And there is a good story under there somewhere. It's just it's very, very poorly executed. And also, I forgot about the massive foam rubber door that falls on Tegan's ankle as well. Yeah, what else could be said about that, really? It's a giant foam rubber door. They could have explained it away by saying the Murker could have changed its molecular structure. But no, it just fell down top of her, and they had to pretend it actually weighed a ton and was crushing her foot. No, you couldn't disguise it. It was pretty terrible. The shootout scenes between the undersea base guards and the sea devils seem to be firing from 3 foot away from each other and missing as well, which was another incredible thing. But I enjoy it, and why not? It is just a very, very weird story, and probably typical of that particular era of Doctor Who. They wanted another Earth Shock, which they managed to do very successfully, but you know, with a surprise with the Cybermen. But they couldn't sustain it for this particular story. It was pretty, pretty bad. And it was just I don't know. It's such a shame. It could have been better. It could have been better. But I still enjoy it. I take it for all its faults. It makes me laugh. I just get a huge amount of enjoyment out of it. So for me, that's what I would put on as a guilty pleasure, just to cheer myself up.
Mondes Podcast. Mondes Podcast.
With Ian Mondes Todd.
Podcast. Mondes Podcast. Mondes
with Ian
Podcast.
Todd.
Mondes Podcast.
Mondes
Podcast. Mondes Podcast. Mondes Podcast. Mondes Podcast. Mondes Podcast. Mondes Podcast. Mondes Podcast. Mondes Podcast. Mondes Podcast. Mondes Podcast.